Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Mem Chet. And we are holding at the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Afilu Oni Shebi Yisrael. So we got up to a little bit beyond the third quarter of the way down. Somebody's not muted here. Okay, thanks. And this is talking about the chiyuv of a husband to bury his wife. And it says over there that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a minimal orchestra that's required at the funeral, so that you have to have at least two chalilim and one star opera singer, actually a woman who is able to sing the kinos fitting for a funeral. So what exactly does this mean, asks the Gemara. I mean, what are we saying? That according to the Tanakhama, I mean, there's obviously some machlokas here. The Tanakhama didn't mention it. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you do have to. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, what is this? Some type of universal that you need to have an orchestra at a wedding? Like, what exactly is the machlokas that's going that according to the Tanakhama, you don't need to provide an orchestra? I mean, like Mumonavshach. If we're talking about a case where it was the custom in her family that you're supposed to have these flutes and an orchestra singer, you know, and that it ain't over till the fat lady sings. So then the question is, my time at the Tanakhama to come out long? I don't understand. If that is the minug and this on that basis that you married her, so then that's what you're going to have to provide. And if it isn't the derech of her family to do that, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that you are mechuyev to do that? Answers the Gemara is a very important machlokas over here. The machlokas clearly is meant, I mean, we need to fill in the blanks over here. But the only way that it would make sense is that in his area where he came from, they did make funerals that way, and they did have somebody to sing and somebody to play, but that was not the minhag where she came from. So what is that based on the machlokas? A very important question. There's a halacha that we learn out from a beautiful diak in the posik of bu'ulat ba'al. Woman is bu'ulat ba'al. Well, obviously she's bu'ulat ba'al. What is that supposed to mean? Bu'ulat ba'al means ba'aliyato shel ba'al, that a woman always goes up in stature along with her husband's stature. From there we learn that a woman is ola imo ve'eno yoredet imo. So let's say, I mean, the classic machlokas about this case is where she wants to hire a nursemaid. And that was the derech where the husband comes from, is that the high-class women, they didn't go around nursing themselves. They had a nursemaid for their baby. And that's not the way it was where she came from. She comes from a lower status or from a tree-hugger status where you certainly hug your children, supposedly. And therefore, he says, you take care of nursing the baby yourself. And she says, I want to be treated the way people in your family are treated. So this is the machlokas. We would say there, we paskin that bu'ulat ba'al, she is always ola with her husband's social status and not yored. This is also true legabe dinim in the osi, that a woman doesn't go down to Gehenim with her husband. And if her husband goes up, then he is zeicha, so then she goes up as well. Fine. But here the question is this halacha true even after death? That's the question. So that's the machlokas. The Tanakhama holds this halacha, that a woman is given the higher social status of her husband, does not apply to her funeral. Because once already she's dead, it no longer applies. It's part of a din of how she's treated. It's not, Dvorah, please mute. It's not a din in how she is. So at this point, she's not being treated as a wife because she's no longer alive. So therefore, whatever the chiyav is to provide her a funeral, but it doesn't have to be the higher level funeral. It could be the funeral on the basis of what her station in life initially would have rewarded her. So he holds the Tanakhama, they hold, I should say, that yoredet imo is only milimichani, milimichayim. Avaliyachar misa, there's no din of eno yoredet. So therefore, in this case, even though he may be very chashev, it doesn't mean that she gets the beautiful funeral. Rabbi Yehuda Sofer, afilu liachar misa, mashenken, according to Rabbi Yehuda, olaimo is permanent, And the halacha, Rav Chisdama Marukva, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that in fact, whatever her social standing was, it has permanently changed to meet his. The Omer of Chista Omer Mar Ukva. Suppose somebody loses his mind and he goes insane. And now he's no longer capable of making legal decisions and he can't decide what's going to be done with his money and so on and so forth. In that case, obviously the Beis Din is responsible and goes and takes money from his estate, his accounts, I guess we say he's still alive, and they pay for zanin umefarnesim et ishto uvanav umnotav. They pay for support for his wife and children in terms of their mefarnesin means even their clothing. Zanin means to provide the support of food, plus additional support for davar acher. Now, the Gemara is going to discuss what davar acher means. Let's let it go by for a moment. Omer le Ravina le Ravashi. Why is this different than somebody who was halach l'medinat hayam? But we know that the halacha in a case where a guy goes overseas and we don't hear from him. Ishto tova'at mizonot. So the wife goes to court and she sues for support. He hasn't given her any support. They'll go and they will give her support. Which, that's fine. That part works out fine. But the problem is that the only support that the Beis Din will provide is for the wife. The zanin mufanasim et ishto. But here you said that even the sons and the daughters get support. And that is not provided by a Beis Din in the event that the man is not here. And that's because mi'ikar adin, once a child is grown, around six, and that's a question what precisely I would define that stage, that he's not mechuyev mi'ikar adin to provide support. Now, there are cases where we'll force support, such as that he's roy to give tzedakah, and he has enough money to give tzedakah, so that he should certainly be mefarnes his children first, and mipsarcha lo titalaim, and so on. Those are dinim that we'll get to bezrat Hashem, but that's not part of the legal chiyav at any point that he's mechuyev to absolutely take care of them. And therefore, Beis Din will not take care of banav ubnotav unless we know for a fact that that's what he wants. And the question is, why does it say over here that the guy lost his mind that we will? So it should be exactly the same thing. So Ravashi says, wait, it's exactly the same thing. You don't think there's something different about a guy who loses his mind and a guy who has his mind? He's yotze. It's a cute play on words in English. He's yotze. The guy's out of his mind. Yotze minadas, the way we would say it in English. But anyway, so he goes out of his mind or goes out with his mind. There's a big difference. If the guy goes out with his mind, then the very fact that he did not appoint an agent to take care of the family means he didn't care, doesn't want to take care of the family. So over there, we can only enforce the chiyuvim of the ketuvah, which is that he has to provide for his wife. We can't force him to provide for these children. Masha Inkein, if he went out of his mind, so then we have every right to assume that had he not been insane, that he would have acted normally. And therefore, we can enforce normal action, and the Beis Din will go, we'll take the money from his account in order to support the entire family. So there's a big difference between the two cases. Anyway, okay, that's clear. Now, when you said, and something else, what is this mysterious something else? So my davar acher, besides his support for food, clothing, what's the something else that you refer to? Rav Chista said, something else includes even the various things that women will do, takshit, so you'll get perfume and so on. So over here, this concept, we'll see later on, of the chiyav, that it's absolutely a chiyav that he has to provide for her various facials, perfumes, and so on. We'll see to what extent. That's a din specifically when he's with her. Over here, he's not with her, but is there a basic chiyav of her being presentable as a classy woman in public? Or like she's supposed to go out without enough money for the perfumes that she would normally use and so on? So Mandi Omar, so one says it refers to the Tachshit. Rav Yosef says the question is whether we can take tzedakah from his bank accounts without his committing to the tzedakah. That's the issue. So mandya matakshe. So according to Rav Chisda, if we're ready to take something that isn't a mitzvah just because of the fact that we assume that he wants to be decent, so kol shekein tzedakah we would take in this event. Mandya matzedakah mashen kein. We don't know that the guy wants to give tzedakah, but if we're talking about tzedakah, then over there, it's a question of the, it would be going that we will not give the Dovarach, right? There's two different Gersos over here. So, and Rashi changes it so that it, the Gersa to our Gersa, basically. So if the idea here, therefore, would be if you say that we will not give a takshit, which is personal, koshikin, we won't give tzedakah, which is not personal. Masha Einkin, Rav Yosef says, tzedakah we will not give, but the takshit he would give because dolonechale de tinavel, even though he hasn't provided for it, we assume that he wouldn't want her to be in a matzav where she's actually going to become disgusting to people. I mean, in those days, not having perfume was very much of a disaster. Okay, as I said, there's the opposite gear. Says, well, we'll go with this. Omrav Chibaravin, Omrav Huna, Misha Lach L'Medinat HaYam. Another halacha is like this. We didn't talk about the interrelationship of the Halich L'Medinat HaYam with the piece of the Mishnah that we were discussing, which had to do with the funeral expenses. So what would be Lagabe that? The guy's wife dies while he disappeared overseas. What will Beis Din do? Beis Din yordim l'nechasav v'kovrim ota lefi kvodo. It will provide the funds for a funeral according to the status of the husband. What do you mean according to the status of the husband? You certainly have to provide her a funeral with the status of her family, don't you? Why only with the status of the husband? The fikvodo v'lo lefikvoda? No, what we're saying is the chiddush alibi de Rabbi Yehuda that we're paskening. In other words, ema af lefikvodo, if the husband is of a higher social strata than she was, so then we will provide her even that. And that is coming to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda and the Kamashmalan, that ola imo ve'inu yoredet imo afilu li'achar misa. That's gufa, what we said, that marukva paskin earlier, that halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And here indeed we find that that's exactly what this is saying. Omer of Masna, Omer, especially somebody says, that as he lays dying on his deathbed, he says, imeta, if my wife dies, do not use my property to pay for her funeral. Lo tikburua minachasav. So then we listen to him. Shom imlo, we will listen to him, because since he is going to die now, she seems to be perfectly healthy and he's about to die. So then the halacha over there is whoever is yoresh the ksuva, and that is the chiyuv to bury her in that case. So as far as his own chiyuv is concerned, was all part of the ksuva. Whoever now is collecting that ksuva, so that leaves a chiyuv against the estate. So if he dies first, so then, if that's the case, there's no chiyuv on him to bury her. I don't understand what that's supposed to mean. Why is it not true that we take it against the estate? So Maishna ki amar, just because he says there's the nafli nichse kamayatme. So what does that mean? Because of the fact that we're saying, well, I mean, his heirs inherited him. We can't ask them to go ahead and to bury her. They're not her kids. We're talking over here where they are not related to her. And why are they mechuyev to pay for her funeral? I mean, we may not even talk about kids, maybe talk about his brothers, whatever, whoever was the one who inherited. So if that's the case, we could always say that if you're claiming that we can't take it from the estate, because then even if he hadn't said, don't bury her from my property, it would have been exactly the same. How could we bury her from her property if you're telling me that there is no lien, even if he never said anything? Wouldn't it always be like that? Nichse kame yatme ramu. They're not his. It's not his to define. The property has fallen to whoever it fell. I mean, we're assuming that there were Yitomim there. Maybe there weren't even Yitomim. I don't know. So obviously, there seems to be a mistake over here. What it should say is, some learn this is what Rav Masa has understood as having really said. Others say that it's a arguing that Elaha Omer, imet hu lo tikbru minechasav. If what the guy is saying is that I don't want my property to be used for funerals. I don't hold by funerals. I hold by cremation. Let the community take care of it. It ain't my business. It's a waste of money. Give it to my kids so that they can pay for their first class airline tickets, you know. And if you want to bury me, you can pay for it. The community can pay for it. I'm not going to be responsible for this nonsense. Richie's already smiling over there. Those first class airline tickets, I don't know if they're my kids or not. But anyway, he knows who I'm talking about. So what's the halakha over there? The halakha is that ein shom ilo. His estate is bound by the responsibility for his own hotza'ot for kfura. He cannot, in order to get more money for his children's first-class tickets, lav kol haymenu shiyashir et banav, he can't provide his kids with more money. And pilat mo'alat zibor. What's it? Now he's going to have the community. You guys take care of it. It's none of my business. Okay, that's what it was said. It was not benogea. There would be no chiddush legabe ishto if there's no longer any chiyav on him and the ktsuva was already collected. And this brings us to some very important words from our kapitan speaking at this final moment from Richie's Island on the Baltic.
Have you bid a fair farewell, etc., etc.?
Now, the question is, we've seen all of these differences. Boy, that was a quick fade out, Rich. We've seen all of these differences between a arusa and a nesua. Throughout the Masechta, there's many, many distinctions. We're going to see more of the halachas of the ksuv and which elements go into effect during the time of Eris. And remember, we started the discussion according to that Mishnah that held that there was a ksuv for an arusa. And the question was, at what point does the property lien come into effect? And if there was a separate written ktuva, how does that affect the chiyav that was there as a chiyav bezdin? Those were the very beginnings of a long, complex sugya, which, of course, is going to take up a lot of our energy to define all of the various ktnaim of the ktuva and at what point they would go into effect. What we've never really described is precisely what do we mean when we say a nisu'ah. I mean, because we have three issues. We have the obvious issue when they're already living together as man and wife. We're over there. Of course, there's no question of her being a betula. Anyway, she's a bula. So all of these special halachas of betula versus bula wouldn't go into effect. So the question is, what about the legal status of being a nesua? Well, we already saw before that a woman who goes to the chuppah, despite the fact that she hadn't consummated her marriage with the husband yet, is still considered to be a nesua. The gabe, all of the dinim that we were talking here in terms of the ksuva and the difference between nara, haba'urasa, habitula. You could have a nara, habitula, who is not an arusa, who is an esua. So then that means that going to the chuppah clearly creates a new status, and she is now considered to be a nesua. We know that there are inyonim in which the erusin is very important outside of the range of just the ktuva issues, namely the issue that we've been talking about throughout this parak, which is the binu'urea beit avia, and that is that as long as she is in beit avia, whatever that consists of, it isn't so clear, but whatever that consists of, he has the rights to hafarat nedarim, and we ended up expanding that because of the various other psukim or kal vachomers that we had, even Lagabi Yanara, that he's Zochet Ma'asiyah there, and so on and so forth. At what point does she leave the Rishus of the father? Now, remember that one of the curious connections that we had to talking about a Yitoma B'chayei Aviyah was a state of an Arusa that was a, nonetheless, just like a certain dinim is considered to be a yitomah b'chaye avia in a very limited sense. A nesua is definitely yitomah b'chaye avia. And then we have this additional case of the actual yitomah. But what takes her out of the rishus of the father? So it says the Gemara, La'olam. Now, La'olam seems to be adding something.
In other words, I'm sorry, Rebbe. Mm-hmm. You said there are three things. Didn't you just say the three things are one, two, three?
I said that there are three darkest. It's not right now what... La'olam yibrashut ha'av. She's in the rishus of the father, ad shetikanes l'rishut ha'bal. Now, there are two girsa'ot over here. The one, two, three, here, l'rishut ha'bal, is a little bit confusing. And therefore, we'll see in the Gemara why it's confusing. Tosus changes his gears in the Mishnah is, Acheti kanes l'chupa. It turns out that the Gemara understands the words, l'rishut ha'bal means, Acheti kanes l'chupa. So let's just pretend that that's what it said. We'll see why it's confusing later. Now, suppose, and here is the state that's right in the middle. We know, that when it comes to the din of hatarat, of hafarat or nadarim, so there is a transition between the Rishut Av and the Rishut Baal, correct? That is that the Orus and the father together can do the din of hafarat nadarim. Neither the Orus nor the father alone can do that. So let's imagine a situation like this. Masar ha'av l'shuluchei ha'baal. We already saw, and we call this, she's mechuseret misira l'chupa. So vis-a-vis the fact that the father, even if he's accepted kedusha, still is going to be moser her l'chupa. So this is an act of formal giving her over, mi beit avia l'beit ba'ala. How much does that formal handing over achieve in terms of the dinim of calling her a nesu'ah? And there's a lot of issues in terms of calling her a nesu'ah. Let's just think some of them off the top of our head. I mean, for instance, if she's working, is at that point she's considered to be a nesu'ah and the husband gets her money? I mean, he doesn't support her yet, does he? Or does he? What about legabe achilas truma? What about the machlokas that we had earlier? If the father has given a large dowry and we had that whole question about what if she dies before the actual ketuvah, the actual chuppah, is giving her over in this fashion, does that include giving over the dowry? Things like that. All of these issues. What if she dies? Will he inherit her? If he's a Kohen, would he go to the funeral? Would he be mitameh? All of these questions need to be understood in understanding which things are a chiyav of the eris and which things are a chiyav of nisuin. And what is this middle stage? So suppose the father hands her over to the Baal or to the Shluchei HaBaal. At that moment, she's already considered to be, even though it's not a chuppah, it is something. And she's already in the Rishus HaBaal. Now, it's not clear legabe what. Halacha avim Shluchei HaBaal. But, as we know, we get into some of this subtle kind of stuff where people try to keep control of a situation that it doesn't fall out of their hands. Very often a problem of parents at weddings. The whole wedding has got to be nothing to do with what the boy and girl want. The whole wedding has to be what we want. And it really turns out, as the kids say, this isn't our wedding. This is your wedding. Okay, fine. So you're going to invite all these horrible people that we don't want at the wedding. And this is the kind of thing that happens all of the time, right? Okay, so over here, the father is making this formal handoff and he says, I'll just travel along with you for a month. Great. Thank you very much. So now the father is going to be there. That's not called a handover, okay? That's called control. So therefore, if halacha av im shulchei abal, or for that matter, no, I mean, of course, time for your own life. I'll just send a couple people along with you to make sure everything's going well. No, thank you very much. We're out to Majorca. We'll see you later, alligator, right? So if that's also not considered to be a handover, and that is all part of remaining in the Rishus Av. Let's get that straight. So once, however, even if they started following them along and at the point where the shluchim are ready to hand her over, then she's already considered to be in the Rishus HaBaal. Now, when you say that word at the opening of the Mishnah, le'olam, what does le'olam mean? Just say, isha b'reshut avia ad. Le'olam seems to be saying a chiddush, something that you wouldn't have thought would have applied in this case. So what is that coming to tell me? Well, that is coming to tell me a very interesting halacha that is actually the opposite of a Mishnah that we're going to have later on, a Mishnah that we have spoken about many times. And that is Nogeha Achilas Truma. So what we talk about over here is that she's always considered to be in the rishus of the father. But don't you recall that the Mishnah later on says that once the time runs out, how does the time run out? From the time that a chassan does this erusin, so it's basically it's a 12-month period for preparations and getting everything in place for the wedding. If the chassan does not perform by that time, then the Mishnah says later, she is nizonet mishalo, and if he's a Kohen, she actually can eat truma from that point forward. What this Mishnah is saying is that even if the time ran out, lo'olam, she's still going to be considered to be Brishus Avia and is not going to be able to eat truma. So that's coming, therefore, we use that word lo'olam to tell me a very tough kind of thing, because normally we wouldn't expect to hear a Mishnah that is against the Mishnah. But this Mishnah is, and it's la'afuke mimishnah rishona, comes to tell us to ignore the lashon of the Mishnah as it stood originally, which we're going to have next week, and that is the Tanan. Higia zman velo nisu, if the time for the wedding has arrived and the man still has not performed, so then the court awards her support from the guy who was supposed to be the husband, ochlot mishalo, the ochlot betruma. So then they are able to eat even truma. Kamash malan, therefore, our Mishnah says, no, wait a minute, that's not true. She's lo'olam bershut avia until the actual knisa into Rosh Hashabal. So that means that she cannot eat truma, that's for sure, until, even though it's maybe way after the time he was mechuyev to take her to the chuppah, but until she's given over into Rosh Hashabal, there's no achil of truma. And then it says, Masar ha'av l'shulchei ha'ba'al, ha'rehi b'rshut ha'ba'al. Okay. It doesn't say in the Mishnah vis-a-vis what. Does this mean even to eat truma? Is that the point? It was lo'olam hi b'rshut ha'av. And we assume that that means achinichlus alachupa. You see, here's where it gets very confusing, because if the original opening of the Mishnah would have said, the way Tosfos says, that she was an ichlusat alachupa, then this next piece would be very clear. Fine. So the first part of the Mishnah says achinichlus alachupa, which is the way that we actually understand what it's saying. It's basically telling me that issue. And even though it didn't say it openly, right? And here it's talking about, as Rav says, handing over. Well, that's not a chuppah. It's true that it does do something, massage l'chayav and so on. Yes, but for what? For everything except one thing, except for the truma. So the olam Hebrew shuta'av, until she goes to the literal chuppah, that still remains true, according to Rav. So she still can't eat truma. Whereas Rav Asi says that's not the case. Even Latruma, she could still, at that point, eat Truma, despite the fact that she hasn't really gone to the chuppah. And we'll see what this is all about. It's actually, remember, it's the old Coke in the fridge question, which we've discussed so many times. So Eisve Ravuna Rav Asi, some say Vaschia Barav, asked Rav Asi, what do you do with the opening of the Mishnah? The opening of the Mishnah says, lo'olam yibrushut ha'av ad shetika nes l'chupa. We said lo'olam means she can never take truma Until now, notice over here that what they quote in the Mishnah is Achit Kanes L'chupa, which is the way the Tosfos said it actually said. In other words, this is an interpretation of Achim Moser, meaning at the chupa. So basically, whether it means that or it says that, but that's what the Gemara is assuming, that the opening of the Mishnah means literal chupa. So how can Rav Asi say that the moment that we're Moser to the Baal, or the Shluchei Avraham Moser to the Shluchei HaBaal, that she can already eat truma, if the whole point of the Mishnah is to tell me you can't eat truma until the actual chupa? Now, Rav himself, Lemaisa, I mean, Rav is basically, they're supporting Rav with this taina, right? They're arguing on Rav Asi, who says that she's even allowed to eat truma. And nonetheless, Rav said to, if it's Chia Bar Rav, obviously he said this to his son, because he's been giving his son hadrocha and how to ask kashas. But even if it was the first Lush, it was Ravuna Rav Asi. Remember, Ravuna was Rav's big Talmud. And certainly Rav could have been telling Ravuna for years how to ask questions properly. So he yelled at them, how many times have I told you? Lo amina lecha lo tezlu batar ipcha. If you're coming to bring a raya to something from a Mishnah or a Braita, and that thing itself bears multiple interpretations, never bring it as a raya, because what you're doing is basically you're weakening your position. Because the person that you're bringing a raya to is going to say, what are you talking about? That itself is your misunderstanding. See how far your misunderstanding goes? You don't even know how to read the Mishnah. If you yourself understand that there could be two different approaches to understand something, so then don't make yourself look stupid by saying, well, since it's obvious to me that this is what it means, so therefore I'll beg the question and ask it on you. But that's not the way to do things. So obviously they will answer you. What's Rav Asi going to tell you? Rav Asi is going to tell you that that's precisely what the Mishnah is saying, that the Mesira to the Baal is the equivalent of Chuppah. That's what he's going to say. And that's good for the Chiddush of the Mishnah. I mean, look how confusing the Mishnah is. Ad shetikanes l'chuppah, ad shetikanes l'rishut ha-baal, which would mean the chuppah totally. And then it says, matzah shulcheyav l'shulcheyav baal. Do we understand that to be a subcategory of chuppah, or do we understand that to be the equivalent of chuppah? That's good for the machlokas between me, Rav, and Rav Asi. So don't try to bring a raya by first making a decision. It doesn't make sense. Okay, anyway, this is the first approach. Whether this lakol would include even truma, or according to Rav, it does not include truma. Shmuel says that there's nothing that it includes. You know what it includes? Money. That's what it includes. If the father, remember the case that we had, that the father is given a bunch of things that he wants to be brought into the marriage. We said, well, those kind of things maybe were only given on das. It was a machlokas we had before on the das that she should ultimately go to the chuppah. So that's what it's talking about, that if she dies on the way to the chuppah after he handed her over already to the shluchei HaBaal, then any of the gifts that he had been koveya for them, they become, at that point, permanently the Rishus of the Baal, and in that case, he would be Yoresh, all of that. That's what it means, but not any of the other things. She certainly doesn't get Truma. That goes without saying, because not only that, a lot of the issues don't apply. Why should we give him the Mitziah? For what? For Eva? He's not supporting her yet. Why in the world? And they're not together. There's not no problem of Eva at this point. And the idea over here is that other issues that we're going to be talking about, other levels of Yerusha, is also machlokas, whether it's dafka, the things his father was giving, as Rashi says, whether it includes bichlal, the Yerusha. Fine. This is Shmuel. Reish Lakish says, well, you know what it means? It means for her ksuva. What do you mean for her ksuva? What ksuva? Ksuva mayi. Do you mean to say the same thing, meaning the property that she had brought in the ksuva, where she said that this is dan halat le mi be'avua? I mean, that's what Shmuel said. So then you're saying the same thing? Ravina, no. Rish Lakish is saying another amazing thing. Rish Lakish is saying not for her ksuva from this guy, but from her ksuva from the next guy. So let's say that her husband, that is her Baal, who gave her the Erisin, is now sent the Shulchan to pick her up, and she's on the way to the Ksuva, and he dies before she ever makes it. So now, when she gets married to another guy, what is her din? Does she have a din of a Betula, or does she have a din of a Nisua? Even though we know they never slept together, nonetheless, if you're going to give this a din of going to the Chuppah, then she's going to be a Nisua. And that, says Rish Lakish, is precisely the issue. The next guy she gets married to writes her exuva for only one mana. She's already considered to be an almana min hanisuin, and that almana is almana. That's what she gets. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Hanina, the Amritar Vayu, the halacha is like Ravasi. Misiratala kot, even including Achivas Truma. Well, now, there seems to be a brisa that says pretty clearly that everyone but Shmuel is wrong. And that the only thing that it's for is the gabi, these issues that were set aside by the father to be bringing into the marriage. Because it says in the brisa like this, Halacha avim shulchei abal, o shalchu shulchei avim shulchei abal, oh, shaitala chotzer baderach. And we'll discuss that later part later. But what happens over here is that first we take the cases in the Mishnah. The father walked along, or the shulchim of the father. In the Mishnah, it said very clearly, that's not called mesira to the Baal. Now, how about an additional case? The Kala herself, or her family, owned some vacation homes on the way. Maybe it's a two-day trip to the chuppah, and along the way, she says, why should we go to a hotel? We can stay in my family's vacation home here. And they do. So she goes to stay overnight in that house. Of course, the Shulchei Av are still there. So over there, afa pishik duvata bebeit ba'ala, even in that case, even if they already had brought all of the things that the father had dedicated to the marriage, you know, they had already brought it into the house, and they were going to be married the next day when she arrives at the chuppah, the halacha is that if she never makes it and she dies, then her father gets the Yerusha, not her husband, and he can take back all of these things that were given. Why? Because she was never actually a nisua. But once the Shluchei Ha'av give her over to the Shluchei Ha'Baal, or obviously the father himself is Matzar Av L'Shluchei Ha'Baal, or let's say that the house that was owned on the way to the Chuppah was owned by him, and then they went into that house so that that house itself would be the beginning of their life together, that's what it's mashma, that they went in order for this to be the Nisuin. So in that case, nichlesai molashum nisuin, so then it wouldn't make a difference, be the exact opposite. Even if all of those items were still in her father's house, the bezdin will take it away from him. Because at that point, if she dies, then her husband inherits all of this stuff. Because
it's called an heir. An heir.
Oh gosh. That will definitely do wonders for a company, let me tell you. It's a great thing on the image. Rent your place at Airbnb, a great place to die. Okay, so now, so far, so good. But take a look at this next piece. Bamed Devarim Amurim, when do we say that the Mesira of the Shluchei Ha'av L'Shluchei Ha'Baal is the equivalent of Nisuin? Only vis-a-vis Yerushata. But when it comes to Truma, absolutely not. In Isha Ochelet B'Truma, Adshi Tikanez L'Chupa. Now, this is basically telling me that the only one who was right is Shmuel. Shmuel was the one who said the Yerushata. to Yufta de Kulu. This shows that everybody who argues, all of them are wrong. Now, it's a little bit weird because, I mean, it says over here for Truma, but why doesn't it say for everything else, right? Okay, so some of the Rishonim say, look, that's not a contradiction because the Truma needs special mention because it's going against even the case of the Mishnah Achrayna where the time has run out. We say, okay, over there, the time has run out. They're already on their way. I mean, they're for heaven's sakes. At that point, at least it should be okay. No, even that's not okay. You say, but she's not even in the father's house anymore. And it's already, it's 13 months later and he was supposed to take, the Mishnah said, even if she hadn't been given over, maybe in that case, Kamashmo and the Brighta, even in that case, not. But certainly not Legabe the other issues too. That's the way the Rishonim answer the fact that the Mishnah, that we're saying now it's a Brighta to Yufta Lekulo, even though the only case that we used to prove that it's otherwise is the Truma. Okay. Now, can we just take a look at that brisa for a minute? Because it's a little bit weird. It contradicts itself. First, it says that if the intent was just to stay overnight and not for the purposes of nisuin, so then it doesn't make any difference. You're still not considered to be in the shus of the baal as long as the shulchei av are there, right? But then the next piece says, if their intent was specifically for nisuin, then that becomes the equivalent of the chuppah. But I mean, what about if they didn't say anything? Mashma over here, the first part is mashma, that nichlasei molalin, dafka where it was defined, now don't get any funny ideas, buddy, we're just going here to stay overnight, right? So she mentioned specifically, they agree they're only going in there to stay overnight. They're not going in there to make this their chuppah. But that implies that what if they didn't commit to anything? That we would assume if they're, okay, they're going to be together overnight, then that is the nisuin. But then the end of the braisa says the opposite. The end of the braisa says, if they go in bedavka with the kavona l'shem nisuin, then and only then would we consider it to be the equivalent of the nisuin. But if they didn't make up anything, hastama, then it would be automatically only lalin. Well, which one is it? Amar Rav Ashi, oh, man, that's the whole point over here. Both cases are talking about that nobody said anything. But the cases are different, and that's exactly what the Brice is coming to teach you. If the house that they were staying over was hers, so then we make the assumption that the staying over is not for purposes of nisuin. Nisuin is that the husband brings her into his home. What is going to make a nisuin by going to her vacation home? That's not the way you make nisuin. That's what's coming to tell me, that unless you say otherwise, this is not the nisuin. In the second case where the house belongs to the husband, well, then this is very normal. You know, come, darling, into my home, not just my regular home, my vacation home. We'll have a nice time together. It'll be our marriage and our honeymoon all wrapped in one. Okay, fine. So that's nisuin, right? That's all that it's saying. Both cases are meant to be taken as stam, where nobody defined what the purpose is. So therefore, what we're saying is stoma stami katani. If the case is it's a chatzar dida, so then we define stam as being for purposes of lina. If the chatzar is dida, then we define the stam as being for purposes of nisui. Now, what about Tana? We have the case in the Braita of Mesira l'shluchei habal. And now we want to know what the din is legab. Remember, one of the most important halachas of defining whether she's a nesu'ah or an arusa is what is the chiyav if she's mizana? Is the chiyav a chiyav of skila or is the chiyav a chiyav of chenek? So how do we view her? If she's not an arusa, so then she's b'chenek like anybody else who commits adultery. So it says in the Braita, if masara avlu shulchei abal and she was mizana, she's chayav in chenek. Not in Skila. Says the Gemara, how do we know that this Mesira is sufficient to change her status when it comes to the din of Na'ara Hama'urasa? Is this a true Nisuin? I'll tell you. Read the Pasuk. Omar Kra, it says over there, in the Pasuk of a Mizana, so the Lashon is Beferish, Hotziu et ha'na'ara, petach bet avia, uskalua, Ki asta nevala b'Yisrael liznot beit avia. Now, what are we throwing in those words? Liznot beit avia. Liznot beit avia is coming to tell me that if she was already out of her father's home, prat l'shamotzer av l'shuluchei abal, so now she's not under her father's house. In that case, it's already including her within the nun, Nara Betula. Well, how do you know? Maybe it means prat l'nichnas l'chupa v'lo nivala. Remember, we have stages. We have the stage which is called living together as husband and wife. Then before that, we have a chupa, before there's been any intimacy. And before that, we have the mesira l'chupa. And only before that, we have beit avia. So how do you know that when it says over here, you're saying, there's no beit avia is before you even handed her over. How do you know that? Maybe it means to include a big chiddush, that even if she went to the chuppah, but she still is a nara, and they never slept together, she's a nara betula, Baruch Avram. Welcome back. You'll note that the Gemara today has called someone who loses consciousness as being one who is yotzei min ha'olam, as Rashi says, kodem sheyatza min ha'olam. Not that I'm accusing you of being insane, just sleepy, but still. Anyway, so the question over here is, we're taking her all the way back, and we're saying that Beit Avia comes to exclude even handing her over. Maybe Beit Avia comes to exclude she was under the chuppah. And she's just under the chuppah, so isn't she already a Nara Bu'ula? No. She was Lo Nivala, she's a Nara Betula, but she went to the chuppah. And I need to know that. But what makes you say we can go all the way back to saying, even if I just handed her over? So how do you explain that? Or my Rava, I'll tell you, Rabami explained that to me. That can't be the pshat. Because I know the din of chuppah from elsewhere without coming in to the chiddush over here of Liznot Beit Avia. Chuppah behed yaktive, it says it beferish in the Torah, which is talking about the din, not of the Matishemra, but the din stam of Kiyena Rabbitulama or Asala Ish. So it says over there that to be medayik from the pasuk like this. Nara means not a bogeret. Betula means not a bu'ula. And ma'orasa means velonesua. So what do you think velonesua means? When it says velonesua, minusua. Now what, literally? That she actually moved in with him? So then she's already not a betula? That's already included in the words betula velo bu'ula, isn't it? So it must be that case is the given. She was still a betula. They never consummated the marriage. And she had gone into the chuppah. That's good for that case. Nichnasa l'chuppah velo nivala. So what does liznot beit avia come to add? Must come to add, since I know already that being under the chuppah without be'ila is not considered to be a nara hamu'urasa in terms of skila. Must be that this tells me that even Mesirat HaShuluchei Av is also not included in being a Nara HaBetula, HaMu'urasa. Okay, now, Rashi understands this next piece to be read as follows. Not that it's a kasha, even though the Ema normally means a kasha. Tosis understands this to be a kasha. Rashi says there's no kasha here. We're just interested in understanding this. I mean, now that we're saying that the whole idea is Liznot Beit Avia, and that's where we get the idea that there's this new stage of Misira, right? So maybe that's only if it remains that way. In other words, what happens if things don't work out and she goes back home? She becomes the runaway bride, returns to her father's home before she ever makes it to the chuppah. Was that Misira permanent? Or do we say, listen, the only mocker that we have in the Torah is the fact that it says Beit Avia, and now she's back home in Beit Avia. So that means that the giving her over is not a permanent situation. It actually achieves a level of kinyan, like you were talking about. Maybe if she comes back again, she would be back again. But what's the mocker that it's a real kinyan? Omar Rava, no. That was already addressed. Ahu. That question, kvar paska tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. The tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. Listen to this beautiful deal. We have in the dinim of hafarat nidarim. So we have two separate parshios there, right? The isha that was Nadara Beit Aviha, and then we say Benurea Beit Aviha. And then we say Ve'im Beit Isha Nadara. So there's two patim here. Either the Beit Isha, which is after she got married, or there is the Beit Aviha. And then we had the Ramazim to being in between, that there was Aviha together with the Baal, as it says, Beferish in the Pasuk. So there's two full batim discussed in the Torah, plus the status of Erisin. So how do you explain this Pasuk? V'neder almana ugrusha kol asher asra nafsha yakum. That if she is an almana or a grusha, any neder that she made, she has to keep. I understand. Obviously, she has to keep. Matamud lomar. Who did you expect to take care of that neder for her and to remove it? She's not in the Beit Ha'av, and she's not in the Beit Ha'ambal. She's an almana. She doesn't have a baal. And she's already left the rishus of the father. So, halomutzeit michlal avu mutzeit michlal baal. Who is going to be able to... I need a pasuk to tell me that if there's no one around to be made for her neder, she has to... Baruch Avram. That she has to keep the neder? No, she doesn't have to keep the neder. Obviously. How could she not keep the neder? So therefore, this must be coming to tell us this new idea of a new status. Harisha masar ha'av l'shluchei ha'bal. O shemasro shluchei ha'av l'shluchei ha'bal. And on the way to the chuppah, the husband died, or maybe sent her a divorce. So now which pasuk is going to apply to her? Heichani koreba. So what's her status? Is this Beit Aviha? Is this Beit Isha? Beit Aviha Shazu? Beit Baala Shazu? That's what the pasuk is coming to tell me. Namely, that Neder Amana V'Grusha does not have anybody. Do not think that she goes back to her father just because the chuppah never happened and the guy ended up divorcing her, dying before she got to the chuppah. She no longer has a husband, obviously, but she also no longer has a father. And therefore, in this case, Kol Neder the Almana Grusha, Kol Asher Nasral Nafsha Yakum. That's good for the Chiddush. But Kivan Shiyatza Shah Achat, do not misunderstand the idea of Beit Aviha to mean a temporary loss of the Beit Aviha. If she's lost her Beit Aviha, it's a permanent loss. Shuv Eino Yochol LaAfer at all. Omer of Papa, absolutely. This idea that at this point she's Chayev Chenek, and that she is not Chayev Skila, which are bringing me a riot from the Braita. Forget about the Braita. It's a Beferish, a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that this is true. Afana Namitunina. We learned this in the Mishnah. Habo al nara ha-mu'uratsa eno chayav achitei nara betula mu'uratsa vehi bebeit avia. Now you tell me what that Mishnah comes to say. You're not chayev skila unless there's these three tna'im. What are the three tna'im? Nara, I understand. Nara, she can't be a bogeret. Betula, I also understand. Betula means she can't be be'ula. The mu'uratsa, I understand that. Mu'uratsa means that she's not a nesua and I'm going to the chuppah. Can you explain to me what these last words, another tna'i? Nara, betula, Arusa, v'hi bebeit aviyah. What's added by those words, v'hi bebeit aviyah, l'mu'ute mai? Well, obviously, says Rav Papa, there's only one thing left. Which status is the Mishnah addressing here? It's talking about lav l'mu'ute masara av l'shulchei abal, that if he already gave her over, there's no longer a chiyav of skila. What did you need to look into a braita for when it's a beferish a Mishnah? Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, yes, absoluto. Because I learned the same thing in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Habal eshet ish, kivan shenichmesal reshut haba'al nisuin, afa pi shelo nivala, habal ha'reza b'chenek. What a strange language. When she came into the reshus of the husband in order to achieve nisuin, what does that mean? Came into the reshus of the husband in order to achieve nisuin? Let it say, kivan shenisait. So what it's saying is, no, that's the whole point. We're not talking about a chuppah. We're talking about coming in order to make a chuppah. Not that she went to the Kippah, she's just handed over to him to come to the Kippah. Shema Mina, it's very clear from here that the Mishnayos in Sanhedrin are taking for granted what the Braisa that we just brought, namely that there is a new stage called Beit Aviyah, and that that din of Beit Aviyah applies not only to the halachas of Hafarat Nedarim, it applies to the halachas of the gradations that have to do with the transference from the Reshut Av into Reshut Habal, and that there are indeed stages in this transference, and this has been the subtlety of the issues that we've been discussing today. In what sense does the Torah view her as being the completely pristine Nara HaMa'uratsa, and at what point is the very fact of no longer being with Daddy a description of a new status? That is the depth of Bein Av Lebito or Bein Ish Leishto.